Good morning, everyone. Well, this morning we're on chapter 3, or lesson 3, and I think it's so fitting for the world today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get right into this. Father, we thank you again for this day that you have allowed your children to come and to fellowship, to be in your house. Father, I do pray also for the pastor and the message. I pray for all who has a part in the service. Lord, continue to just keep your hands upon us to guide us and direct us. And Lord, as the song we just sang, oh, what a privilege it is to walk in the light of a Savior. Father, we truly ask just to be with our children, protect and keep, Lord, and be with this old world, Father, as we see time ticking away. Lord, I do pray for the lost, Lord, that before it's eternally too late, that they too would come and walk with the Savior. Father, just be with us, guide us, and protect us, and all glory is yours. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. The lesson as we start out, like I said, is so important, and I think it's so important today. There is definitely the haves and the have-nots, and that's what this is about. And the world has always looked to and wanted to be on the side of the haves. And not so much the have-nots, which, you know, as we are reminded, as we, as born-again Christians, at the foot of the cross, it's level. There is no respecter of persons anywhere in our God's line of thought, anything. Everything is level at the foot of the cross. And I think this morning, as we will open up with Luke 7, 36 through 50, I just want to share this. The haves and the have-nots, the football game next week that will be played in Las Vegas, the suites where people gather and have their drinks and their eats and watch from a private booth, they are going for rent for the Super Bowl, seven figures. Just a small, probably 20 by 10, 20 by 30 place in this arena for one game, for 5 hours or 10 hours, whatever you want to go and you want to party, you want to watch the game, however it is, just for that one day, seven figures. So there is. And people are starving to death. People are homeless. I think this distinction between haves and have-nots and how the world looks upon is very much alive and well in this world that we live in. Yeah, just a common seat that somebody behind you, if you don't get in the, just hear me out. I've had beer spilled on me. I've had, you know. So you pay this $5,000 and somebody behind you gets excited because somebody scored, and the next thing you know, you got material going down your back for $5,000. Go buy a new TV. Go to the homeless shelter. Take a plate of food. Do something with this $5,000 that'll last. But anyway, we'll get into this lesson. We'll see just how the world looks at people, but how the Lord looks at us all. This morning we'll be in Luke 7, verses 36 through 50. Luke 7, 36 through 50. And it starts out like this. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. We're talking about Jesus here. And behold, a woman in the city, who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee who had bidden him saw it, he spoke within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Verse 40 says, And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors, and one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore, I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that were eating with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith have saved thee. Go in peace. He didn't care where this woman had come from. He was worried that the people, I think he was worried that the people in that room were so judgmental, that their hearts were so hard, that they may never turn from the ways of the world. Question one asks us this: What words or phrases would you use to describe this woman's actions? Okay, let me back up just a step. Absolutely, that's a good question. The times of the day then was that if you had a guest speaker to come into your own place, it was a tradition or permissible for the people who lived in that or around the area could also come in, and they would sit along the seats, not at the table, but they would sit around the sides and they would listen to the conversation. They wouldn't get into the conversations, but they would just, it was okay to come into the house and to see this guest speaker, who at this time, the Pharisee, who was very rich in tradition, but also this man they're calling Jesus, has come. And people were starting to be inquisitive. They wanted to know. They wanted to be around this fellow. They wanted to see what he had to say. So, excellent question. It was a tradition of that time that when you had somebody important to come in, other people in the town or the village would come in and take their place around the walls. Okay, we know that this woman was part of the oldest occupation known to man, one of the oldest, and she was a prostitute. How many people in that room do you think were doing this? And it may not have been any, but I know the world. How many people do you think were like, Boy, I sure hope she doesn't see me. I mean, really, you know she wasn't welcome. I mean, she was a sinner. Me too. But God didn't care because he sent his only begotten son. Any other thoughts on what might describe this lady's actions? I said thankful. Somebody said courageous. Humble. She was humble. Here she was, a lady of the night, but she didn't care. She wanted to be around Jesus Christ. Shouldn't we all have hearts like that? We want to be close to the Lord. You know, and I believe she was one with deep repentance. I really believe that. Question two, as she did these things, what do you think she was thinking and feeling? Another, you have to put yourself into this place. So just let your mindset go. Any ideas on question two? Folks, there's nothing like having that peace. It's not the peace that the world gives, but it's a peace that only God can give. You know, I think that, any other thoughts on that? Absolutely. I don't care who sees me. I don't care who wants me here. I have heard about this man. I have felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to go see him. I don't care who sees me. I don't care what you think. I'm getting next to him. And how many times through the Word of God did we see that people cried out? Just by his passing and just being in his presence, people were healed. You know, word spreads rapidly, but I want you to think about the arrogance of the people in that room and think about today of the haves and the have-nots. The Pharisees were the hads. They had it all. And that's the reason they were so upset with this man called Jesus Christ, because he was going to turn their world upside down. He was going to take away their ability to exhort their power, to play into their role, to covet the power and the prestige that come along with that. This lady didn't care who saw her. She just wanted to be close to Jesus. She was focused on him and didn't care what anybody else thought. Question three, suppose you are one of the other guests at Simon the Pharisee's table, one of his social equals. What thoughts go through your mind as you see this woman enter the room and watch what she does? I kind of jumped the gun there a little bit. There may have been one or two. Oh, don't let her make eye contact with me. I guarantee you. I don't know that for sure, but there was a lot of people in this room. She was one that was an uninvited guest, but came in anyway because that was the tradition. And she took her place right behind Jesus Christ. And she knew where she wanted to be. Other people were like, I'm just going to see what everybody's wearing. You know, I just want to be a part of this high society for a little bit. But I'm not sure how many people at that time wanted to be that close to Jesus Christ. I just don't know. Some who felt the calling and the pull and the tug of the Holy Spirit, absolutely. But you got people today, so-called Christians, they don't want to be close to Jesus. They want to either ride the fence or be close to the world. They want to be part of both. You can't do that. You can't do it. You know, look at that woman. Does she think we don't know who she is? Remember, the ground at the foot of the cross is level. That's the amazing thing about our Lord. He's no respecter of persons. And there were a lot of people there just wanting to be part of the gang. I mean, they didn't care what Jesus had. The whole party was set up so that they could find something on Jesus Christ to use against him. Oh my. Question four. How would you sum up Simon's attitude and enter musings? Any idea? Now this, we're talking about Simon's mindset. We get a little thought into the scripture about the way his mindset was working. He was just looking down. You know, just absolutely, I got you now. Little did he know. Any other thoughts on question four? Has anybody ever played this game? Like, I would give you a message, and your job was to whisper into the ear of the one sitting beside you. And it just kept going. And then when he got back to Bruce, Bruce would say, here's what I know. And you would say, that's not what we started out with. How many people in that community was going to be able to talk about, do you know who was at Simon the Pharisee's house? A prostitute. Oh my goodness. And now it just starts rolling, you know. So he was probably like that. I put down pretty much what you guys did. I'm better. Full of himself. How many think that the Lord was not invited to dinner as a friendly gesture, but so that the Pharisee could just spy upon him? I still think that he wanted to make his way in deeper to the Pharisees' council. I just think that he had a, you're not going to believe what I caught Jesus in. Well, you take this seat of honor because we needed that. Where this woman has, where she's been, her past, it's, oh my, it's just terrible. Question 5 says, what is right about Simon's response to Jesus' story? In verse 43, Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Question 6. Jesus asked, do you see this woman? His question might have been only an introduction to what he wanted to point out about her, but it appears to go deeper than that. What made the question so powerful? Any thoughts? I mean, there it is in a nutshell. He just saw her sin. He didn't see her as a forgiven sinner. He saw that she was definitely in need. And change is hard. And the only way you're going to change is one, that you have the mental attitude that you want to change. But even at that, change is hard. And there is one who will help you change. But you have to go all in. You have to just allow Jesus to work in your life. Let me read you Matthew 22:15, and it goes along with what all of us have been saying, and that we know in our hearts and our minds. Matthew 22:15 says this, then the Pharisees went and conspired together, plotting how to trap him by distorting what he said. It's exactly right. This was nothing more than a dog and pony show. They wanted something on Jesus so they could just, see, told you. But he knew their thoughts. He knew their mind. He knew the heart. And that's what makes the difference. Question 7. In contrast to what the Pharisees saw, what did Jesus see when he looked at the woman? Kind of goes along with just what Brother Fred just said. He saw one who was in need of a Savior. And guess what? She found him. That reminds me of this, and I've quoted this before, Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door of the church and continually knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, restore him, and he with me. Now these words of he and him, it's about us. It's about us. It's all inclusive, man and woman. But it doesn't matter. You know, we've talked about reading scripture and praying. Just open the door. If you feel a burden on your heart, you're being led to go someplace, to do something, to say something to a neighbor, to a loved one, open a door. Don't take this on by yourself. When Jesus himself ascended into heaven, he gave us a gift that dwells within every born-again believer, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. All you got to do is ask. And if it's to glorify God, don't get your hopes up on this new red Corvette. I don't think that's where this goes. But if it's to glorify God, to witness to an unsaved person, he's going to give you just exactly what you need. And that's the Lord. Open the door. He's there. He's on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It doesn't matter. And we have that ability to go to him at any time, to call upon his name. Question 8. How does the end of the conversation demonstrate that Jesus saw the woman for who she was and who she could become? I hope the church as the church forms and people begin to follow, that they're, you know, if this is truly Mary Magdalene, you know, she played a part, you know, in getting the word out. So, you know, we all have, and there's nothing in the Bible that says, and I've read this Bible, and I'm sure most of you have, cover to cover, it doesn't say anywhere in there, life is fair. I've never found that in the Bible. It tells me that it'll rain on the just and the unjust. It tells me that you will have trials and troubles. But I'm sure people, they're all not bad. You know, there are good people left in the world. And I'm sure they were, she was taken care of. And plus she had the ability to work, you know, to find a job that, you know, there was a need for other than the job she just gave up and came forward. And it's not easy for any of us, you know? I mean, I still have people that I grew up with. You know, you get around them and, oh, man, I can't believe that I used to participate in some of this stuff. You know, the cursing and the, oh, you remember when? I'd rather not, you know? Yeah, I'm a sinner. But the Lord Jesus Christ changed me. And he should change all of us. You know, and I'm sure that this sinner, whose sins were forgiven, was changed. She was changed. She had a one-on-one time with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what separates our religion, our I hate to even use the word religion. Our time with Jesus, those who are truly believers, it's a one-on-one relationship. You don't have to go to somebody and then let somebody else pray and somebody else pass that on. You can go at any time and ask the Lord. That's the amazing thing about Christianity and all the other world religions. Question 9, what do you think it takes to really see a person? Don't be judgmental. Absolutely not. Remember, Romans tells us we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we're all in the same boat. One of the things that I strike up a conversation. You don't know. If you stand there and look at somebody, you think, do I really know this person? Do I know their background? How are you today? Good to see you. There's still people in my neighborhood I haven't met. I haven't. Been here 3 years. There's still people in my neighborhood. Now, there's some that I have ran into on the sidewalk, making a walk or leaning over the fence or whatever, that I've, you know, struck up conversation. But you strike up a talk, and you look at the person's heart. It's not hard to see. You look at how a person reacts or how a person treats other people. That's where you truly get to know somebody. Matter of fact, 1 Samuel tells us this. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, people look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. We're children of God. We shouldn't judge, but we should love and look at a person's heart. Question 10. Do you think most people really or feel really seen? Do you? I think some people are seen too much. A book you gave Rose, Corrie Ten Boom, we were discussing as she was reading through it. And something that really stuck out on me, I got to share this. Most people want to be like the sun, the S-U-N, and shine bright. But Corrie Ten Boom reminds us that we should be like the moon and let the sun, S-O-N, let his reflection shine upon us. And I thought, how wonderful that was. I really enjoyed that. Any other thoughts on this question? Folks, let me leave you with this. We'll pick up these last couple questions, but I want to leave you with this scripture verse. And it's so fitting, I think. And it comes from James chapter 1, 23 and 24. For if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it, he is like a man who looks very carefully at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he immediately forgets what he looked like. Take time to get to know somebody. Speak to them. Don't judge. Don't be judgmental. Because I can be the gruffest, loud, obnoxious person just by appearance. You know, just bald-headed men are just... We get to know somebody. And don't forget that you just looked in that mirror and what you're looking at, if you're truly born again, is a Savior who took time to go to the cross for me. That's how blessed I am. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. We do pray that you will continue to be with the service today. Father, what a blessing it truly is to be with like-minded believers. Father, we love you, and we just ask that your hands be upon us all. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.